Meeting September 6, 2016, 6:30 p.m. I'd like to read the notification of open meetings, which is on the wall on my right and left. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414, is posted on the back wall of the meeting. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. We ask that the public not interrupt the direct discussion and action. Thank you. Quorum call.
Bonnet.
Present.
John Conley.
Here.
Craig.
Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda. We can have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Conley?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. Item number five, proof of publication of meeting notice. I have proof of publication affidavit of tonight's meeting, which will become part of the permanent record. Item number six, review and recommendation on resolutions to be considered at the 2016 NARD Annual Conference. John Luther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attached for your review is two resolutions which will be presented and voted on at the 2016 NARD Annual Conference in Kearney. That's toward the end of the month. The first resolution is 216-1. This is a water well professionals resolution. This doesn't really impact the NRDs, but it, a staff member from the Lower Loop NRD sits on the Water Well Professionals Commission. And so this is recommended by the Lower Loop, and it's more of a support resolution. The basic idea for this resolution is to, there's many different certification criteria for water well professionals, and for each individual category that you have to get a license, you have to pay a fee. So you could have multiple licenses that an individual could have, and they would have to pay each individual's fee. What the intent of the legislation is to do is to encompass all those categories into so an individual could get several different licenses, but the one fee covers all the different licenses that they may have, similar to the medical field, and it's that's identified in the resolution. So this is a support resolution. It will, I think, clean up a lot of the requirements that not only various staff members but contractors also go through to get these various licenses. The resolution 216-2 is a funding eligibility for public water systems that's submitted by the Lewis and Clark NRD, and that is to clarify some language with the SRF funding. And there was a law passed a few years ago that when it was written into law, it was more of a, I think, a grammatical type of issue. What it states now is that a political subdivision with a population greater than 10,000 is ineligible for funding through the SRF. I think what they're trying to say is it's not the political subdivision. They want to change it to the water system itself. So that makes this a big difference. So it's a matter of putting in a couple of commas. We have checked with the department, and we have an agenda item coming up later tonight, that an SRF loan. It does not impact that request and that approval. So this would be to help clarify it and clear that language up. And, of course, it's not simply that you can go and just add a couple commas. You have to pass legislation to do that. So we are requesting, or we are recommending support for both of these at the NARD conference. And Director Cheeser is our representative, and he will vote accordingly there. If there's any other questions, I can try to answer.
Can we have a motion?
I move the resolution.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to this item? Directors? Roll call.
John Conley?
Yes.
Yes.
Chairman.
All right. I think that concludes the minute.
Too easy.
Okay, I'll call to order the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee. You heard previously a reading about the Open Meetings Act, and we will follow the same procedure that was announced for the prior subcommittee. With that, quorum call, please.
Here. Lee. Thompson.
Here.
Here. Item 4 is the adoption agenda.
So move.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Thompson?
Yes.
Yes, I have here an affidavit of proof of publication of tonight's meeting notice, and that'll become part of the permanent records. Now we're moving ahead to item 6 is a review and recommendation on Washington County Rural Water System financing. Zach Nelson, please.
Thank you. So if you recall on last month's meeting, I brought forth an agenda item for approval of a construction contract subject to project financing for the agency water management. Achieving this first agenda item is in regards to SRF loan finance project. Like we've covered in the past, the project involves a little over 1 mile water main extension circulating the state's water company, 5 households, subdivision, training areas fed by 4 existing wells. So it's important that we kind of get this project. So in the memo, I go over and outline the project cost. As discussed last month, we do have a construction difference. So we have through project cost estimate. Currently, we are working with the Department of Health and Human Services for a loan in the amount of $350,000. That loan adds rate 75% would add annual debt service. $1,000 a year, which will be offset by hook up to the board. There's a rough outline of project cost. People note there's pretty large contingency amount simply just from the fact that we want to apply for a large loan. We're able to get all the project easements free as well as some of the people who are right. So, still a cost of $1,000 there, by the way. I fully anticipate the project. So, in order to move the project forward, along with the approval for this agenda item, we have a public hearing on Thursday. Just to allow the public to have questions about the project, build it, so far, every comment I've so it is staff and management recommendation to the board of directors general execute SRF and
move staff
second.
We have a motion and a second. Any of the public wish to speak? Directors? I have a question. You mentioned being in state highway right away. For part of them. How much in the main is going to be in highway right away?
Approximately.
No, I don't like hearing that because when they change road locations, you got to eat that cost.
Yeah.
it's as opposed to being an easement. I'm sorry to hear it's in the public right away.
So in this particular project, the NDOR right now is completely realigning the highway, two lanes to west of the right of way. So we're pretty far. I don't think it'll be for life. We're right on it. Right? Fortunately, the trees and a lot of kind of private dollars associated with fences are
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Roll call on the motion, please.
Aye. Thompson?
Yes.
Yes. Now you have the next items.
Yes. For this next item, I have Paul Greger with EA Davidson. As part of the SRF loan process, so it kind of brought to light an opportunity for us to finance bonds were issued. 2011, bonds were refinanced both bank loans and our Washington Bank. Currently, interest rates are a lot more favorable. I think there's an opportunity to refinance debt as well as it's kind of a house we have first get all the right people back. So overall, we just think there's an opportunity. Currently, there's a couple of different scenarios. Best case scenario, bonds would maintain until maturity 2032. The net present value of everything a little over $30,000. Second option, if extending bonds up to 6, net present value that scenario. Once again, both of those are still approximate dollar amounts. We don't know what final interest rate is.
And Zach, with the issuance of the bonds, the Washington County bank loan gets paid in full, and then we're done with that.
Correct. So one advantage to that is right now the Washington County bank loan is locked in only 3%. Definitely improve the financial stability. Parker, Paul here.
Chair to entertain a motion.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay. Do you gentlemen wish to make a presentation, or are you here just to answer questions?
Questions. That covered most of anything that I've.
Thank you. Anyone in the public wish to speak to this?
Sean Malotz, 10404 North 132nd Street, Omaha. I grabbed a quick copy of the budget, and I just wanted to make sure that all of these changes have been incorporated into the Washington County Rural Water District budget.
Yes.
Yes.
And then I guess a question I would have, if the budget shows they have over $500,000 that is intended to be reserved, why would those funds not be used instead of increasing your financing and paying?
Those are reserved required by the bonding.
Now, there's two different reserves. There's the bond reserve and then the operations reserve.
The operation reserve would be in case you lose a pump or a major main or something like that. You don't want to dwindle that down into a dangerous situation where, knock on wood, we haven't lost pumps in a while. But they're very expensive and they take a long time to repair. So,
what does a pump cost, just in general?
It depends.
Yeah. If our bump stage was not cutting 100,000.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's well in excess of $500,000 that's in the reserve.
Exactly. It's a safety.
Also, is there a rural water, Washington County Rural Water Board that discusses this?
The Washington County Rural Water Board hasn't been formulated yet because Fort Calhoun hasn't got their nominees. So we're waiting for them to formulate that
board. When do you intend for that to happen?
As soon as they get us their folks. I think they're still waiting for...
I imagine that they would want some type of input into what's happening here.
Yeah. Zach, have we heard from them in a while?
No, I've reached out to the mayor. Currently have progress set up to discuss the thing. But we hope to have that expressed per the settlement agreement. Once that thing that's been advisory board in place. For everything that's going on, it's a great benefit to them. Greatly revenue to the system as well as helps.
Right, and we've notified the mayor via communications, written communications, and we've yet to hear back from him. So yeah. We've notified the city of Fort Calhoun the whole time of this activity going on.
I guess my side comment on that is that was the intention of Water District Number 2 as well, that went bankrupt and you had merged. So, you know, there is some thoughts that the people out there should have some type of say in this as well.
The system never went bankrupt. There's no bankrupt proceedings. There's never a claim of bankruptcy. And now that the system is...
The two systems were merged, and it was because they were having financial...
The two systems were merged for efficiency. And so you can see right now that efficiency is paying dividends to the ratepayers who utilize that water, as well the people of Lakeland who don't have very good water right now.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is projections aren't necessarily reality. So...
Any other comments from the public? Seeing none, roll call on the motion. Or, Director, it's your opportunity. Seeing none, roll call, please.
Thompson?
Yes.
Richland?
Aye.
Sherman?
Yes. The agenda here. Now we're moving on to Terry Schumacher and... review and recommendation on phase 7 of engineering contract with Olson Associates for the professional services for Pigeon Joe Site 12. And Terry Schumacher and Mike Plastic? Mike Plastic, thank you.
Good evening. We're here tonight to talk about moving forward with a major structure up in the Pigeon Joe's watershed, a crucial part of the whole watershed plan. It's PJ-12. It's a road structure. Dakota County would very much like to see this project move forward, and I know the adjoining landowners would. The structure has just short 2,000 acres that will be controlled by it. So it's a key component in the whole watershed plan, and this is the next phase, the movement towards getting this project completed, is engineering contract amendment with Olson Associates. This proposed Phase 7 amendment would provide for final design, permitting, construction, administration services for Pigeon Joe Site 12 and construction administration services for PJ-16, which that's the next item on the agenda that hopefully the board will be approving tonight. There's a lot of documentation here, and there's a letter from Mike and Olson's that explains their request for the additional professional service and the not to exceed amount of $389,000. If approved, this would increase the overall project contract to a not to exceed amount of $2,264,853. Like I say, this is going to be a major component of the watershed. So we're looking forward to moving forward with it, and we'll be happy to answer any questions unless Mike wants to add anything.
Like Terry said, it controls almost 2,000 drainage acres, and it's designed to contain the year that does have 3 acres. Road structure will be designed, County Road, that
Before we get into questions, let's get a motion on the floor.
Move with staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay, now, is there anyone in the public that wishes to speak? Seeing none, directors?
Right here.
Yeah, Patrick.
So, we kind of talked about this project before. There was a pretty huge cost overrun in the last phase. Now we're seeing another phase with additional cost overruns, especially with...
Just to be clear, Director Bonnet, this has never been contracted. This is part of the project.
Can we explain it? What are you trying to accomplish with the additional funds here?
We're trying to get engineering services designed, built, construct kitchen zones. It's going to be a high hazard structure, reduce flood damages downstream by sediment. This is basically this contract, cradle to grave, from start to finish, and that's the way we've set it.
Correct. So this isn't a cost overrun, but it's the next phase for the next phase. Right. Is a high hazard structure.
All right. Terry, it may have helped with how many structures we've already constructed and how many we have left of the whole watershed plan.
Well, there's 22 plans. We've constructed 10. 16 will be 11, or maybe it's 12, my memory could be wrong. But then the next phase is just to move on to the structures. The smaller structures, you know, NRCS has designed for us, which is a great deal to NRD, but they're not going to even consider designing a structure. That's what they do, at least anymore. So what we're proposing to do is to have the next phase, which is completely new work with Olson's. This project was never in any phases. I think it was intended to just keep working through the watershed if these structures are completed. And this is a major, major structure part. This will be the size 15, which controlled a little over 5,000 acres. This will be the number two structure. So it's going to have huge benefit downstream. It's going to help keep a lot of sedimentation out of the levee system, which we all want to see. But leave that sedimentation and soil back up in the hills and the upstream water.
Are you finished, Patrick?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Bill, this is on Pigeon and does not go into Cramp.
That's correct.
Okay. I'm just pointing. Making that clear.
Now you keep rolling these projects one after the other and keep extending the magnitude of the contract for engineering services. Is that correct? Each new phase is a change order to the contract. Thus, we're seeing the $2 million figures tonight.
Right.
Okay. And you intend to continue to do that, Mr. Winkler, as opposed to separate contracts?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I mean, obviously, these guys designed the whole... I mean, to go out and have a competitive bidding for each one of these would be a waste of everyone's effort, including time and money. I mean, we've always rolled these into phases as each individual project is next up. The issue with why these go along so long is because most of them are a willing seller. You have to have a landowner that's willing to have these constructed on their property. So it's not, we can't go in and just condemn the whole, each project area and do these all at once. That's why you're seeing this continue over time.
And I think that's why we're seeing, we're blinking a little bit and we see these $2 million figures
well,
too.
I mean, yeah, and how long has this watershed been, we've been working in there for?
Well, the original contract was in September 2007, so that's 9 years.
Yeah, almost 10.
I mean, and the big chunk of the $2 million went to Pigeon Jones 15.
Right.
and that was for designing the dam and the recreation area administering that whole project. I mean, I don't know for sure all the other contracts, like for Prairie Queen, what those total engineering costs were, and maybe, but if you break it down that way, you can see the reason for those costs.
Are there any open contracts now relating to Pitch and Jones other than the ones we're talking about tonight? Have they all been totaled out engineering-wise and construction-wise? Is that yes? I don't.
Yes.
Okay.
I think I had some consternation on the size and the scope of the project the last time they came. I wasn't quite understanding what we were trying to accomplish and the method we were following to build these structures. Since then, I've had a briefing by John and others. But I gave Olson kind of some flack for the design of the recreation area because I voted with the understanding that certain amenities were going to be on site. And then when it came to ribbon cutting day, the bike trail didn't exist. It just wasn't there. So when I see in phase five the increased cost for the design of the recreation area, I'm looking for specific. What exactly are we getting for our money?
You're saying in phase five or in phase seven?
In phase five, as listed here, there was an increased cost, had some flack there, and now we're up to phase seven. Is there additional, I mean, it's just final design, permitting, and construction, and there's no recreation in phase seven, is that correct?
Correct. No rec.
Any other questions or comments? We have a motion on the floor, then. Roll call, please.
Thompson?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, gentlemen. Now going back to our agenda. Item 8. This is Terry Schumacher again. Pigeon Jones, grade control structure, PJ 16. Go ahead, Terry.
All right, good evening. PJ 16, this project has been in the works for quite a while. We've been really had to work with the landowner and fill their desires to a certain degree and make sure the project meets all our NRD objective goals. But we were able to secure the easement at no charge to the district. So we're ready to build this structure, and Olson's were the engineers on this structure. This was part of a 319 grant that we were able to secure to build this structure, and also providing matching funds for the engineering. This is the 10th of the 22 structures that will be built in the watershed. Anyway, and this structure is above the Central Lake, so potentially it's going to help keep a lot of sedimentation out of it. And there's about 1,060 acres in this watershed, so pretty good size in itself. On the 24th of August, 2016, we opened bids for this project. A total of 5 bids were received. Summary attached. Mathers Construction bid of $219,879.43. The apparent low bid. After reviewing the bid, Olson's recommendation letter recommended that Mathers be awarded the contract. Engineer's estimate for this project was $207,104.50. And like I said before, we will be receiving 319 matching funds on this and 60% up. Staff recommendations, subcommittee recommended the board, another construction bid of $219,879.43. Approved.
I move staff recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anybody in the public wish to speak? Directors? I have one question. Is there any additional engineering costs that are becoming back to this board now regarding this project? Pigeon Jones 16.
The additional construction oversight is in the previous
It's already been covered then.
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Just so that we're clear on Thursday, what the committee is being asked to consider today and suggest to us on Thursday is a proposed increase of $389,000 for phase
total.
Seven. For phase seven. A total increase.
Any other questions or comments? Roll call on the motion, please.
Thompson?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, now moving ahead to item 9, review and recommendation on Missouri River levee system R613 and 616. This is certification and project funding agreements. Paul Woodward. Paul, we can take these one at a time, or can we take them as a single item?
Do one at a time, if you would, please.
Okay.
Good evening. I'll review kind of both of them together, and then the committee can take action. The most of you are aware that the district originally applied for Water Sustainability Fund grant for the improvements to the levee system to meet the certification requirement. That was actually moved by the legislature to pass a specific act and create a specific fund that's going to be administered by the Department of Natural Resources for just the levee project. So that's what we're talking about tonight. We've been working with DNR staff, getting everything set up so we'll be able to utilize that fund. And what's before you tonight is a contract to do that. The other item is the interlocal agreement with the cities of Omaha and Bellevue and with Sarpy County that lays out funding over the next several years, in the amount of $750,000 over four payments. That $750,000 is made up of that's from the Omaha, Bellevue, and the county. Each would pay $250,000 each year. You should pay $750,000 each year, right? And then the NRD would contribute each year $1.25 million. So if you go on to the next sheet, what I wanted to review with you is, as we've been working with DNR, we've been looking at how this cash flow might work to pay for the project. You see the different fiscal years up here. This is what's kind of already occurred before the start of this fiscal year. That's mostly been the design work that's been done on the levee. Going forward, we show costs up here that we're likely to accumulate each year. And then we show income in this table down here. And what it works out to be is if we look at the NRD and the cities providing the cost share as laid out in that agreement, and we request what we're able to request from NDNR, any cost we incur from the beginning of this fiscal year on. Contract doesn't include anything in the rear today. So what we're proposing to do is every time from here on out, whenever we see costs incurred, we would request the amount, that amount from the DNR fund until it's utilized. And then we end up, if we put in our $1.25 million approximately each year, in our budget, that looks like the NRD is getting 1.25% from general funds. Then we end up being pretty close to break even after we've constructed the entire project. And then basically at the end, the NRD wouldn't owe that fourth payment of $1.25 million. We'd actually get some reimbursement. We do this, and this allows us not to have take any money out to cover any costs over any costs that we might incur in that second year of construction that might go over what we have in the bank. it was good to go through this and lay this out. This is what DNR will talk to them about. They wanted to see a schedule. Okay, what approximately will you be requesting each year as we go through? We'll work with them to lay that out. But that's kind of what I wanted to cover on the how these two funding agreements, how to play out the entire project.
And the cash flow, it's the best estimate. We, of course, don't know if we have a bunch of bad weather or construction's delayed or something occurs that's unforeseen, then you could throw the chart off. But we do know if we approve these agreements, we're going to get $750,000 a year from Omaha, Bellevue, and Sargent County, and that we got the $13.7 million from the state. And now how that all flows out will depend on a lot of factors we have no control over, but we at least know that we've got that income stream coming in to cover the cost. So.
Paul, why don't you read from your letter that first paragraph of your recommendation so we get it on the tape, and then we'll act on that item first.
Okay. Management recommends that the subcommittee recommend to the Board of Directors that the General Manager be authorized to execute the proposed contract with the Nebraska Department of Natural Resources for the Critical Infrastructure Facilities Cash Fund for the Missouri River R613-R616 Federal Levy Certification Project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as performed by district legal.
I move staff recommendation.
Second. We have a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak to this item? Directors? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Aye.
Yes.
Yes. Now, moving ahead, whenever, if you have to go through any other discussion before we get to the next item for a vote tonight.
Not unless there are any questions.
Okay, do you want to read that recommendation? And then,
as an item of note, Sarpy County approved this unanimously at their last board meeting. We're the second one.
Do you want to run through the management recommendation, Paul, please?
You bet. Management recommends that the subcommittee recommend to the Board of Directors that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed interlocal agreement with the City of Omaha, City of Bellevue, and Sarpy County to fund the Missouri River R613-R616 Federal Levy Certification Project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as performed by district legal.
I move staff recommendation.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Is there anyone in the public wishes to speak? Directors? Seeing none, roll call.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes, and I believe that concludes our agenda.
Did you want to put Fred in as Mr. Teaser, or do you want to leave it at 4?
I don't have my current CPR certification, so you better go get a drink or something.
Fred, do you need to stick around?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and sit in.
All right.
Okay. I'll give you the.
Carrie, Fred Conley will serve in for Mr. Teaser.
We lived along pretty good, didn't we?
I call to order the Finance Expenditure Legal Subcommittee meeting. A notification of the Open Meetings Act has been posted on the outside of the door and read at the other subcommittee meeting. I won't repeat it.
Let's make sure we've got the conversation focused on what's going on up here, Mr. Chairman.
You want to get a look out of the room? Okay. We're good.
Go ahead. Quorum call, please.
Here.
Yep.
Here.
Fred Conley will sit in for Rich Teaser, who's excused. Did you get quorum call?
Yeah.
All right. Excuse me. Adoption agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
Yes.
Aye.
I have here proof of publication of the notice of this meeting, item 5. So moving on to item 6, reading recommendation and adoption of the Y-17 budget, Mr. John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The district has received final valuations from the county clerk offices. The final numbers are as follows. Sarpy County was a 6.1 increase, Douglas 3.15, Washington 6.48, Dodge 7.38, Burt 6.17, Thurston negative 3.19, Dakota 0.42. The average was 3.88. If you remember during our budget discussion in August, we anticipated a 4.5% increase, which we did not attain. Therefore, we had to cut roughly $239,000 from the budget, and we did so. You'll see any changes in the budget are marked in yellow. The tax levy would be set at 0.038034. That's the same tax levy as last year. Again, 11 out of 12 years of either a declining or static tax levy rate. Total tax requirement is $22,828,011, and that's an overall increase of $852,306 from last year's total tax requirement. That was originally over $1 million that was brought down. Following chart is a what a house at $100,000 and $200,000 would pay in valuation. That would be the resolution that would be submitted or forwarded to by the subcommittee to the board for approval to adopt the budget and set the property tax levy. If you go through the budget summary, we have the budget proposed, $70.5 million. Property tax levy, the same as I discussed, as well as the property tax requirement, $38.03 per year for a home valued or a property valued $100,000. This budget meets all LID restrictions, especially the 2.5%. If we broke down into budget summary of flood control, erosion control, water quality, recreation, forestry and wildlife, and watershed fund, I won't go specifically in those. Carrie also puts together some nice pie charts, which shows the percentages of the budget expenditures of where they go. I was looking historically, a few previous budgets, and the general administration remains roughly the same. Actually, the flood control percentage is going down as we expend the bonded money for dam site 15A. And then if you look over the budget of revenues, you see a property taxes make up 32% of the overall revenue that comes in. We break out state funds, bond funds, improvement project areas, federal funds is 1%. I anticipate that will continue to decline. It's a small part of the pie now. Miscellaneous funds is 14%. And then if you go into the proposed budget, it gets into the general budget categories and specific line items that we addressed in August. And again, the only things that have changed are the items highlighted in yellow, and I will go through those. The first line item is the on page 25 of 43 of the Papio Trail System. Contributions and cost share has changed, as well as the professional services for that particular budget item. And then if you look at Glacier Creek mitigation on page 28 of 43, that is where we had to reduce the shortfall in the appraised percentages or the appraised value. We took that funds from there. There's still $741,000 in there, and we can still do some work and some planning there with those funds. As Zach mentioned earlier, we did modify the Washington County Rural Water to reflect the votes on the Resource Development Fund as well as the refinancing of the bonds. And so those items are changed as well. There were some additional changes to the Dakota County Rural Water specific items. But again, the most important part is those is the revenues balance out with the expenditures. So if there's any specific questions, I can go in there, but it hasn't changed a whole lot from the budget that was adopted in August, except for our property tax is less, and obviously our valuations weren't what we anticipated. We're usually fairly close. I was thinking that they would be higher than they were, and they just didn't work out that way, especially with the TURF ruling for Douglas County. But again, overall, it was pretty flat. So, any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer.
I'd like to get a motion on the floor, please.
I move approval of staff recommendation.
And you, Bill, can you show the recommendation up on the board?
Resolution?
Yeah, it's a resolution. It's quite lengthy, but if everybody can see it, you don't have to read it.
Your motion is that adopt the resolution as presented on the board.
As presented to on the board tonight.
Okay, including item 1 and 2?
Yes.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
All right, anyone from the public wish to speak to this?
John Lotz, 10404 North 132nd Street. On page 12 of the budget, I think it needs to be updated to agree to what was just presented earlier on the Missouri River certification. According to the discussion earlier, the NRD shares $1,250,000, whereas that budget shows $1,050,000 as far as the outflow from the NRD.
That it?
Yes, I think you need to lower the property taxes. When you're comparing last year's budget to this year's budget, isn't necessarily what's hitting the public. The taxpayers are comparing it to what was actually paid. So you should be comparing this year's budget to the $20 million from last year, which is a larger increase than what's being told at this evening's meeting. Thank you.
Anyone else from the public? Directors. Roll call on the resolution.
Same. Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Yes. Item 7, last item is we are adjourned. Thank you for coming.